are the belching evidence of that lake of fire in the bowels of the earth. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Notice that, 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. Now some try and tell us, when the devil's all shut up, there will be no men on the earth. In other words, no one to deceive. But you'll notice how contrary that view is to Scripture. Satan is chained in the bottomless pit, and there are nations on the earth. He shall deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose a little season. You've read the second time, but 1,000 years. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There it is the third time. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. There's the fourth reference to 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's the fifth reference. And when 1,000 years are expired, or at the end of 1,000 years, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now the beast and the false prophet, those two men that are coming, have been in this lake for 1,000 years. And it says here, where the beast and the false prophet are, they're not annihilated, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. The word of God is very explanatory as you read it slowly. Now tonight our subject is the millennial, the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth. Six times over, we read about 1,000 years. Just before I get right into my message, I want to say the first three verses are premillennial, something that happens at the beginning of. Then verses 4 to 7 are during the millennium. Then verses 7 to 10 are the end or post-millennium. Now, if you read the Word of God, you'll find many passages of Scripture that certainly do not apply to the eternal state. That is this lovely place that we're going to speak upon, the New Jerusalem on Sunday night. Certainly there are many passages of Scripture that do not apply to that place of perfection, perpetual joy and happiness. And certainly they do not apply to the world today, as it is in this day of grace. So where do they apply? They apply to that 1,000 years when Christ will reign over this earth. Because those days are too good for today. That is, the devil certainly isn't chained in the world today. A lot of people think he is. The devil very much at large. And so we know that this is not the millennium, because Satan is very active. He's very energetic. And we know as to eternity, when the new heavens and the new earth are set up, Satan won't be chained. Satan will be in the lake of fire. So during what period will Satan be chained? It tells you here. During 1,000 years, while Christ is reigning over the earth. Now there are many passages of Scripture that take too much time for us to turn to them and read them. You may do so at your leisure. For instance, you have Micah chapter 4. You have Isaiah chapter 11. You have Isaiah 65. You have Isaiah 66. Three chapters in Isaiah. Chapter 11, chapter 65, chapter 66, and Micah chapter 4. If you read those four chapters, we could give you others in Zechariah and elsewhere, you would find conditions on the earth that are going to be on the earth, conditions that refer to this coming glorious reign of Christ. That's an amazing thing, that God, as you know, took 6 days hard work reconditioning the earth, then he rested the seventh day, didn't he? Which is the Sabbath. Now, isn't it very interesting that this earth is almost, that is, as far as Bible chronology of man being on this earth is concerned, about 6,000 years. The Jewish calendar brings us nearer. From the time that, as far as we can understand from Adam and Eve, until the flood was approximately 2,000 years. From the flood until the cross, another 2,000 years. Now, since the cross until the present day, it's 1955 A.D. on a domino. And the Jewish calendar brings us even nearer to the 2000. It's up somewhere near the 1980, something of that nature. And we go by Jewish calendar in dealing with prophets. Meaning this, that there's almost 6,000 years past, as far as Bible chronology is concerned, since God put Adam and Eve in the garden and they fed. 6,000 years. What does Peter say? 1,000 years but a day in thy sight. So if you look on 1,000 years to man, but to God, according to the calendar of heaven, it's only a day. 1,000 years but a day. It's only 6 days in God's reckoning since God put Adam and Eve in the garden. God worked 6 days, remember, and he rested the seventh. Could that mean that God has been working ever since sin entered? For 6,000 years, that he's going to rest on the 7,000 year, the seventh day, the millennial reign of Christ. 1,000 years rest. 1,000 years of peace. After 6,000 years of sin and unrest. And after Satan has been busy for 6,000 years, he'll be chained for 1,000, and the earth will enjoy peace. It's a wonderful thought when you think about it. Now, I want to say this, that this wonderful age, the millennial, is not brought about by preaching the gospel. This is where so many have a mistaken idea. Some even go so far to tell us the world's getting better. I don't know where they get that idea from. They certainly don't get it from the Bible, and they certainly can't get any comfort or encouragement for their argument from statistics. All you've got to do is write the FBI in Washington. They'll give you the statistics, showing that the world is not getting better. Our nation isn't. Neither is the rest of the nations of the earth. And the Bible says that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Earthquakes are on the increase. Wars are becoming more fearful and dreadful. Crime is on the increase. The use of dope is on the increase. The use of bitterness is on the increase. Mental sickness is on the increase. Yes, friends, everything that we recoil from is on the increase. Things are not getting better. They're getting worse. And if you notice the end of this age that's given you in the seven parables of Matthew 13, what do you have? Do you have a converted world? No. There are the good fish and the bad, the tares and the wheat. That's the end of this age. Everyone's not converted. The world's not going to be converted. How is this age going to be brought about, this age when Christ shall reign? by the gospel being preached and everyone accepting it? No. Here's something that's sad. It's going to be brought about by judgment. God has given this world 1900 years, for that's the period indicated on the chart here. From Pentecost, where the church began, until now, we're about here. Christ is soon to come to the air and catch the church up to meet him. That's 1900 years. God has given this world all that time to accept the gospel of his Son. And the world hasn't done it. And the world is worse off now than it was 1900 years ago. So the gospel is failing as far as converting the world is concerned. Not that the gospel hasn't the power, but man refuses it. He won't accept. Therefore, conditions get worse. So how's God going to bring about that 1,000 years? Christ is coming to catch away his church, and then whose seals will be broken, and the seven trumpets, the seven trials arrive emptied upon the earth, and those terrible days have we've been preaching about. God is going to get rid of all the sinners and the wicked men and women of the earth, and finally the battle of Armageddon, the disposals of the hordes that will be assembled in that veil, brought there by satanic power. And God, by judgment, is going to rid out of his kingdom all things that offend. That's the only way this day is going to be ushered in. By God destroying every wicked person, God destroying every sinner, all who refuse to bow the knee, God will destroy, leaving only the righteous to go in to that blessed age known as the millennium. There are five lines of prophecy. I might say, in using the word millennium, someone may argue with you and say, well, where do you get that word millennium? It's true, you don't find it in the Bible. But what does millennium mean? Millo, 1,000. Annum, year. Latin, millennium, meaning 1,000 years, like a century. You don't find the word Trinity in your Bible, do you? But isn't the doctrine there? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? You don't find the word substitution in your Bible, but isn't the doctrine there? Christ dying for our sins? You don't find the word incarnation in your Bible, but there's the doctrine. And so the word millennium simply means 1,000 years, Christ reigning upon this earth. You know, the Lord Jesus is likened unto the man of sorrows. You know that. The man of sorrows, Isaiah 53. The one who's acquainted with our grief. Now he's the man of God's right hand. Christ is up in heaven. He's the man of God's right hand. One of these days he's going to be the coming man when he comes to the air. Then he'll be man of war, disposing of his enemies. Then he'll be man of peace, where he reigns over the earth. You have those two final phases in connection with David and Solomon. You remember David wanted to build God a house. God says, no, David, you're a man of war. You can't do it. But Solomon, your son, will do it. He'll be a man of peace. David was a man of war. His son Solomon was the man of peace. Christ will be the son of David as man of war. When he disposes of his enemies, and as Solomon, he'll be man of peace. Now, there are various illustrations in the Bible. Take, for instance, Noah and his family. They went through the flood in the ark. They came out on a purged earth. An earth that had been purged of all sinners. And only those in the ark stepped out on an earth that had been purged by judgment. A new beginning. A new earth. Now Noah and his family went through the flood. But you remember God picked Enoch up before the flood, carried him over. And that's what Christ is going to do one of these days. He'll come and pick up the church, carry her over these terrible days. The awful storm of judgment that's going to hit the earth. But there'll be those who will go through it. That will be those faithful Jews that we've been speaking about. Everything is lining up for this right today in the Near East. They're going through those dreadful days into the millennium. Just like Noah went through the flood in the ark and stepped out on a new earth. An earth purged by judgment. So, these judgments will purge the earth of sinners, and these who have come out of that great tribulation will go into an earth cleansed from sinners, purged of all enemies of God. Remember the disciples' prayer, Thy kingdom come. What are they praying for? They're praying for His kingdom to come, when Christ shall reign upon the earth, when God's will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. You remember the stone in Daniel's image? The stone that hit the image on the feet and the whole thing collapsed, and it says that stone became a great mountain and filled the earth. Who is that great soul? Christ. The image is Gentile nations that we spoke on one previous night. That will be destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. Christ, the stone cut out without hands, He smites the image on the feet. He disposes of those Gentile powers, and He becomes that great kingdom that fills the whole earth. That's the story of Daniel's image, or Nebuchadnezzar's image in the second book of Daniel, second chapter of Daniel. Now, let us get into the king. Who will the king be during the millennium? You know, couldn't be anyone else but Christ, the king. He was dishonored when he was here before. They nailed him to a cross. They said, away with this man, will not have him to reign over us. They gave him a crown of thorns. And the day to come, he's coming to be honored. And he'll be the true king. As son of David, He's heir to the throne of David. As son of Abraham, He's heir to the land of Palestine. As son of man, He's heir to the world. As son of God, He's heir of all things. Where will the capital be? The capital of Christ's millennial reign is Jerusalem. The city where He was so dishonored and so disowned. That city that He wept over, because it had rejected Him. And in rejecting Him, brought the judgment of God upon it. That city will become the metropolis of the earth during the reign of Christ over the earth. Christ the King, Jerusalem, will be the capital. What kind of a government will it be? It'll be a theocracy. God reigning over the earth through judgment. For did the Lord Jesus not say concerning the 12 apostles, they would sit on 12 tribes, judging the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Jewish nation will be the head, and through them, the righteous administration of Christ will cover the entire earth, and Gentile nations will be blessed through the Jewish nation. What will the church be doing? The church will reign with Christ over the earth. Here you'll see the New Jerusalem, the home of the bride. Why is the bride likened unto a city? Because of her governmental capacity. And Christ and the church reigning over this earth during the millennium. A restored Jewish nation will be the leading nation, and the nations that were spared from these terrible judgments because of their treatment of the persecuted Jews will be blessed and will come under the shadow and favor of the Jewish nation. Now when you start to think of this, and I want to bring in a point, that what you receive at the judgment seat of Christ, in the way of a reward as a Christian, I believe will govern your influence in the millennium. Does the Lord not speak about ruling over 5 cities? 10 cities? What are you talking about? I believe that there will be rewards handed out at the judgment seat of Christ to Christians that will give them a place of influence and prominence in the earth when Christ reigns over it during the millennium. When I was a young Christian, when I was first saved, I had the privilege of often talking to a godly man
Mr. Taylor, a real Bible student. Mr. Taylor was a godly man of possibly 65 years of age then. He's way up in his 80s now. Many a time as Mr. Taylor and I walked along the street as we sat together in the home talking over the word, he would ask me questions, and then he would smile at my ignorance. I remember one day he said to me, "Lester, how would you like to be a policeman in the millennium?" I said, "Fine." And he smiled. He said he wouldn't have anything to do. That's true. Because the millennium will be a period of Christ reigning upon earth. There won't be any criminals at large then. There'll be no jail, no police force, no fire department. No. It'll be days of heaven upon the earth. Now this kingdom too will be spiritual. A spiritual kingdom. In what way? What kind of bodies will we have? You remember the Lord Jesus when he rose from the dead? Why, he appeared in that upper room in the midst of the disciples, the doors being shut. In other words, he had a body. Some try and explain it by three dimensions. I don't know how they do it. But I know the Lord Jesus had a body that could be handled. It could be seen. And he could actually eat. But he says, "Give me a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb." And he ate it in front. And yet, he could vanish through a wall, a door. He could appear. He could come and go. He wasn't in any way interfered by matter or material. And the Bible says that those who are saved now will have bodies like unto his own glorious body. It'll be easy for us then to go between heaven and earth. The New Jerusalem above, the Jerusalem below. What did the Lord say in John chapter 1? Referring to Jacob's dream of the ladder. The angel of God ascending and descending for the Son of Man. There'll be that happy intercourse between heaven and earth. We'll be able to go from the New Jerusalem above to the Jerusalem which is below. Or dispatched to various parts of that righteous kingdom. Yes, I believe the church will function in that capacity with spiritualized thought. And that kingdom will be supreme. There'll be no rival. That kingdom shall be universal. He says, "All shall know me." And I want to say this. Satan will be bound. It'll be a very spiritual kingdom. There'll be no evil influence. You know, the devil gets blamed for a lot of things today, but the time's coming when he'll be chained for 1,000 years. Now that goes to prove this, does it not? That he is a real person? Did you ever think of that? How could you chain an influence? You couldn't do it. You can only chain a person. A personality. Here is Satan, and he can be chained if one angel does it. And Satan will be chained for 1,000 years. There'll be no satanic influence upon this earth. Satan is bound. You know a wonderful thing in that day? God says, "All shall know me, from the least to the great. Righteousness shall cover the earth as water covers the great deep," says God. "And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." They shall all know me. Now, you know, if I were to walk down the streets of Albany, and I stopped a man and started chatting with him, and he says, "You know, it's one of the things to know Christ is where you're going to heaven." That'd be shock number one. I'd bump into another, the next person. We got talking about it. He says, "My, it's one of the things to know you're sinners forgiven. Know you're going to heaven." Shock number two. And if I stopped 10 people, one right after the other, the first 10 I met on the street, and everyone knew the Lord. And everyone knew he was going to heaven, knew his sins forgiven, and could talk about the Lord Jesus, and how wonderful it would be to be with him, and to be with him. Now,
help and he doesn't need me. 10 people, all talking about the Lord. I'd be willing to stand with you any day on any corner in Albany. And if you could find 5 people out of 100 who really know Christ, that would be a surprise to me.
You'd find plenty who are church members. You'll find many who are trying to get to heaven by doing the best they can, but I mean people who really know Christ, who are really born again.
But you know, in the millennium, all shall know me, says the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live then, and everyone you stop and talk to knows the Lord. They're all willing to talk about the Lord, spiritually. Why, today, you can hardly strike up a conversation about the Lord outside the church. If you do, they look at you as though you're queer. And ready for military. But I'll tell you this, if you really know Christ, and you're really born again, you can't talk too much about Him. You want to talk about the Lord, and what He's done for you. And then when you think of the kingdom, not only will it be a spiritual kingdom, Satan bound, everyone talking about the Lord, it'll be a moral kingdom according to Micah 4:3. Righteousness shall reign, no open sin. It'll be a peaceful world then. Peace among the animals, no fighting among the beasts, no such thing as larger animals devouring the smaller one, for the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. No such thing as the larger birds pursuing the smaller ones to kill them, or the larger fishes of the sea living off the smaller species. God says, they shall not hurt nor destroy throughout all my holy mountains, says the Lord. That's going to be wonderful. And there'll be peace not only among the animals and the birds and the fishes, but peace among men. That's when they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They shall not learn war anymore. No more war. For 1,000 years. One. You know, in those days too, you'll be able to have snakes for pets. What it says? You'll be able to pick up snakes. Your children play in the cockfights there. Would you like to do it now? Those who think we're in the millennium, I'd like to put that to a test. Let me see you pick up a poisonous snake. But in the millennium, you know snakes will be pets for kids. Up in Winston-Salem, certain Christian I know well, James Crouch by name, one day he said they were having a discussion. Some of these snake handlers came through. And it was the talk of the town. The police were trying to stop them. And there was quite an argument going on. The press was full of it. These snake handlers were holding big meetings every night and handling these snakes. James said 4 or 5 of us were talking one day, and of course the subject was snake handlers. And he said there's an old colored fellow sitting there during the dinner hour. James said, Sam, did you handle a snake? No, sir. Why wouldn't? It says so in the Bible. You pick up deadly things, serpents, come on bite. Don't you believe the Bible? Sure, I believe the Bible. Well, why wouldn't you pick up a snake? He said, that snake ain't got religion. He said, I got religion. That snake ain't got religion. That was that. And that's true. But it'll be wonderful, won't it, in the millennium, even snakes will have religion. If you want to use that word. In other words, there won't be anything destructive. Nothing poisonous. God says there shall not anything hurt or destroy throughout all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. There'll be no divorces, no jail, no asylum, no hospital, no hot spot. No. That kingdom will be a model kingdom. no public sin. He'll scatter all evil with his fire. That's what he said. Economically, prosper. Provision for all. Agriculturally, the curse will be lifted. And the Bible says the desert shall blossom as a rose. There'll be no blight, no boll weevil, no drought, no plagues of caterpillars, grasshoppers, insects. There'll be 100% yield agriculturally. The Bible says that during that 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth. What about health? It'll be a healthy reign, a healthy age. You ever think about the age that they used to live before the flood? Quite a few lived over 900 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. Why didn't God let him live 1,000? God says no. That awaits that age when my son shall reign for 1,000 years. Men and women will enter that time. Maybe 50, 60, 70 years of age on the right to. They'll live more than 1,000 years. Methuselah lived 969. He didn't live a millennium. And the Bible makes it plain it'll be an age of health and an age of happiness. Boys and girls playing in the streets, you read in Zechariah 8:5. You know, man has failed. He's tried every way possible. He's tried all forms of government to try and bring about this age. Man thinks he can do it. Dictators think they can do it. Despots think they can do it. Yes, communism thinks it can do it. Democracies have tried it. Republics have tried it. Kings have tried it. All forms of government have tried to bring about this millennium where there will be plenty for everyone. Everyone happy. No more war. Man has tried and tried and tried, and he's failed miserably. On the world worse off today than it was at any time in its history. After man has tried for 6,000 years to bring about perfect conditions on the earth, and conditions are getting worse, and this earth will not know a perfect government nor a righteous administration until Jesus Christ establishes. Christ is the one who will establish universal peace. The one this world had the opportunity to accept 1900 years ago, but rejected him. And the world has known nothing but bloodshed ever since, because it chose the criminal, Barabbas, instead of the Prince of Peace. And when Christ, the Prince of Peace, comes back and disposes of his enemies, sets up his kingdom, then for 1,000 years, this earth will be blessed. Days of heaven upon earth. What are the steps to it? The first thing is the coming of Christ. That's what we're waiting for now. We'll speak on that tomorrow night. The next thing will be these judgments. Then Satan will be bound, and then will be ushered in the 1,000 years reign of Christ upon this earth. Strange thing happens. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loose. A man said to me the other night, he said, what about that? Why is Satan going to be loose? I said, now you'll be here Wednesday night, and I'll tell you. So I'm going to tell it tonight. Doesn't it seem strange that after 1,000 years of wonderful reign, the earth at peace, everyone happy, everyone healthy? My, will be wonderful, won't it? No fighting, no wild animals, no wild beasts of any kind that can't. No drought, no spoiled crops. My, everything just like the Garden of Eden, like the Garden of the Lord. Days of heaven upon earth. No murder, no suicide, nothing like that. You know, the earth will be populated very rapidly under conditions like that. No mortality rate, Everybody's so healthy. We'll be on the earth. My, how quickly the earth will populate. The earth will be depleted in its population almost to half by these judgments of the revelation that we can figure out for you.
Therefore, there'll be plenty of room
for more inhabitants than rapidly the earth will be populated. For 1,000 years under those ideal conditions. And then at the end, God says, I'm going to let Satan out.
Why coil this time of peace? Why release Satan? He had 6,000 years.
And look what he did to man. Why does God let him out now, the end of 1,000 years? First of all, God is sovereign. And he can do as he pleases. That's his sovereignty. But there's a reason. During this time, owing to these millions who will be born, they're going to profess outward allegiance to Christ. They can't do anything else. Christ is reigning with an iron hand, with a rod of iron, the Bible says. And for fear of the king upon the throne, no one would come out in rebellion against him. It would cost him his life if he did. And so he falls in and he takes up the language of everyone talking about the Lord. He's one born in the millennium. And because things are so pleasant, he bows and submits outwardly to the righteous rule of Christ. There'll likely be millions who will do that throughout the millennium. But God is going to test every profession.
God is going to test at the end of the millennium whether their profession and their professed objection is genuine or not. Whether they really love Christ and because of their love to him, they subjected themselves to him, or whether they've done it out of fear. And God is going to test the reality of their profession.
And I vouch to say this, friend, that God tests professions today. You make a profession of faith in Christ, and God will test you to see if it's real or not. Whether you've got the root of the matter in you, that's why a lot of people make a profession at an evangelistic campaign, or under high pressure, they make a profession, and look at them a couple of weeks later. The first test, down they go. It wasn't true. They didn't have the real thing.
Had they Christ,
they wouldn't have fallen. Had they Christ, they wouldn't have failed under that test. God is going to test professors. Another thing, God's going to demonstrate that 1,000 years in the bottomless pit hasn't changed the character of Satan. When he comes out, he's still the enemy of God and the enemy of man. Another reason why Satan is going to re-release and God will release him is to prove that environment will not change the heart of man, that man needs more than an environment. Here will be men and women living under the best environment, under the righteous reign of Christ. And at the end, there'll be millions who will turn and rebel against Christ, showing that that best of environment hasn't changed the heart of millions of men. I want to say this, friend, I don't care what environment you put a boy or girl in, you can't change his heart. You may restrain him, but you can't change an individual's heart by environment. That individual needs a new nature. And just as Satan is a fallen creature, so are you. And so throughout that millennial reign, there'll be these millions who'll be born, and they'll profess objection to Christ. And at the end, when Satan's released, it's hard to believe they'll line up with the dead against Christ. They've been put to the test, showing that environment hasn't changed the deep-seated enmity and hatred of the human heart against Almighty God. And the fifth reason why God is going to release Satan is because justice demands that every man and woman have a chance to choose. They won't be able to choose between Satan and Christ when Satan's found and in the bottomless pit. There's no one to lead a revolt. So God in every age, right from the beginning, man has had to choose between God or Satan. Seeing Satan is not at large, but in the bottomless pit, man won't have the chance to choose. But at the end, God says, I'll give you a chance. You can now choose between my Son, under whose reign you enjoy to live for 1,000 years. I'm going to get left prisoner and see if you will choose him in preference to my Son. God gives man that opportunity. That's your prerogative to choose over the youth. That's so tonight. God's not forcing salvation down any man's throat. It's up to you to accept it, or it's up to you to reject it. What happens when God lets the devil out at the end of 1,000 years? Did you notice what did happen? Why, it says in verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured. Meaning this, that Jerusalem being the metropolis, the capital of the earth during the millennium, the enemy shall go forth. And I believe the reference to the uppermost parts of the earth simply means this, that those who are not really at heart in love with Christ have migrated to the most distant point. They're getting as far away as they can from Jerusalem. Then when Satan is released, they rally to his banner, and they march on Jerusalem. And then is when fire comes down out of heaven and destroys them. That's what will happen at the end of the millennium. Then God will deal with this planet, as we'll notice on Friday night, after which there will be the eternal heaven and the eternal earth. Those who are not killed by this final visitation from heaven by fire will go into the new earth, the eternal earth, and the bride will be in the eternal heaven. Wherein dwelleth the eternal righteousness. Today, righteousness suffers. During the millennium, righteousness will reign. But throughout eternity, righteousness shall dwell. It's fair to say, it's perfect. Satan will be in the lake of fire, but all who have rejected Christ will be with him. All the redeemed will be with Christ in glory. In the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth the eternal life. And so Satan will be released. He gives man the opportunity to choose or reject. And friend, that's the question you've got to settle tonight. Will you have Christ or will you have Satan? This is not the millennium. This is the day of grace. But remember this, the sides are chosen. Here you have the opposing forces. Here's Christ and here is Satan. The forces of light against the forces of darkness. Heaven against hell. And you make your choice. Which will it be? Choose ye this day who you will serve. And what will happen to the earth during the millennium under the righteous reign of Christ? That is the earth we bless with everything. You can have that same blessing spiritually in your soul tonight.
It'll be Christ who will bless the earth in the millennium. It'll be Christ who will bless your heart now. Those blessings will not only be spiritual, but they'll be physical and material. You will be blessed tonight with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. It's a choice. Who will it be? Christ or Satan? You say, I choose Christ. Then Christ will bless your soul with sin forgiveness, with the assurance of salvation, with the fact that you have everlasting life. You'll never fail. And just as the earth will be blessed in that day, will experience days of heaven on earth, so you will experience days of heaven on earth. As you realize you're saved, your sins have been forgiven, washed away in the blood of Christ. And now Christ is your King. He reigns upon the throne of your heart. He wields his scepter in your lap. You are his willing subject. For those verses will be true in the millennium. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. That will be the millennium. But the government of your life can be upon his shoulders too. If you this night will choose him, accept him as your own personal Savior. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come into thy presence. We ask thy blessing upon thy word. We thank thee for the promise and prospect of the coming of Christ. We thank thee for what thou hast told us about this poor world, now drenched with tears and blood. O God, we thank thee the time's coming when our blessed Lord shall hush all the sighs and sobs of this groaning creation. He'll wipe away every tear of his own. He will establish universal peace. We bless thee, Father, in that day those who are saved now will reign with Christ. We pray thee to speak to any who know not the Lord Jesus. We know Satan is putting on the pressure to keep them from Christ. We trust this night they will decide in favor of thy beloved Son and enter into peace. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.